Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Talking and praying this week about a time to act, and the time to act is now. And sometimes that action looks more active than at other times, but it's still a desire on our part that needs to grow into being obedient to Jesus, to being obedient to God's word, to doing the things that he calls us to do. And even if that thing that he calls us to do is to be still and know that he is God. Yeah, I think sometimes we get all caught up in the word action, and we think to act requires that we do something that's noticeable, where the act that God wants us to do at times is, well, just between us and him. Other times it is very noticeable. It's meeting the needs of people. It's serving people. It's loving. It's forgiving. It's doing the things that we do in community with one another. And so throughout this week, we'll be talking and praying about different things the Bible says regarding the way we ought to act. And today we're going to talk and pray about acting justly. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." You might be wondering, and maybe not, but why would he ask such a question? What does God require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Well, the prophet Micah is talking, well, he's talking about one that would come from Bethlehem to bring salvation, to save them, to rescue them. But he's also talking about the people's disobedience. He's talking about how they've strayed from God, how they've not done everything that God has required of them, how their lives have not been pure, how they've rejected God by the way they think, by the way they live. And so by the time you get to Micah chapter 6, he's kind of taking away a lot of the things that they've relied on for solutions. Their sacrifices, the things that they think, if I just do this, then it's okay if I act this way. It's kind of that, to me, the concept behind the phrase that I don't really like that well. In fact, I don't like it at all. Some will have gone to say, and that's the part I don't like, because the original part is actually true, that originally would say it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. Somehow that phrase has been shifted in our culture to say it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. In other words, I'll do what I want and then God will forgive me. I'll do what I want and then my brother or sister will forgive me. I'll do what I want and there'll be no consequences. And God's people had kind of weren't that different than us. They had reached the point that many of them, and again, this is a generalization. I'm guessing and hoping there were individuals within the culture and society that did, with God's help, their best to be faithful, to be true, to truly be repentant. But for many, it was a game that they were playing. I'll sin and I'll sacrifice. I'll sin and I'll sacrifice. And so Micah begins to question. Actually, God's the one questioning. Micah's simply relaying the message. You know, will 1,000 rams, will a river full of ram's blood be enough to cleanse? You know, does God really delight in that? Is that really somehow pleasing to him? You know, when we think about people that continually do wrong towards us, and I suspect initially we are pleased when they're sorry. And our thoughts are, well, good. Let's put that behind us. Let's move on. Let's resolve this. But if we have people in our life that continually are like that, that, well, it appears that there's no desire on their part to actually change. They just want to do what they want with no consequences. We as humans often get tired of it. And it isn't long before their pleas of sorry aren't all that meaningful to us. But to think about God and how committed we are to repentance. When we are sorry, when we do recognize the sin in our life, are we really genuinely pursuing God's help in changing the direction of our thoughts, the direction of our mind, the direction of our actions? Or do we just hope to say, well, I'm sorry, and go back to doing it again? But that's the context of Micah coming along and God speaking through him to say, all of that stuff that you've been doing, even though it's stuff that I've asked you to do, I kind of expected it to bring about a change, and it hasn't. So it could kind of get discouraging when God's saying all of this stuff isn't working. But he doesn't leave them hanging. He finishes Micah chapter 6 with this question, what does God require then? If it isn't the sacrifice of blood and of bulls and goats, and he says it's to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. And I think all of those tie together. I've talked before about this idea of acting justly. Justice from God's perspective is a desire to make things right, a practice of making things right. It's not really like the way our criminal justice system tends to work here in the United States. We tend to view it more as a punishment system than a corrective system. Or at least that's the way it generally looks like it operates. But God's desire for justice was always about restoration and making things right to the greatest extent possible. And so when we look at what God wants, he says, I want you to make things right. I'm not wanting you to have to keep on sacrificing for the same thing over and over again. I want you to act justly. I want you to make things right between us. I want you to make things right between one another. I want you to make things right in your own life. We often think about acting justly in the way that we treat the people around us, and it definitely applies there. But how about in the way we interact with God? Are we in some sense defrauding God by our refusal to really change? To make things right? Now, obviously, we don't have the ability or power to make things right on our own. It requires the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But are we applying the blood of Jesus to not only cover our sin, but to remove it? You know, it's kind of like getting a nice white dress shirt and spilling my coffee on it. Now, I can find something that will kind of cover that up. I might put a jacket on. don't want people to see that. But the problem is, eventually that jacket comes on and the stain is still there. What it really needs is it needs cleansed. It needs the stain removed. And when we sin, we come to God, we ask for His help to make things right because we can't do it on our own. And we take the jacket off and we say, we need this stain cleansed. And He'll do that. And then I suspect He would say, be more careful. Get a lid for your cup if you're that clumsy. And when we live life, we ought to act justly. We ought to make things right with one another. But we ought to be tuned in to making things right between us and God. He begins the process. He makes the process possible. It's our response that is up to us. And am I willing to change? Am I willing to live obediently to His word? Or do I take advantage and pretend that like I can do whatever I want? You see, God's desire isn't that we're constantly doing what we want and trusting in His mercy. His desire is that we work to make things right and we trust in His mercy when we stumble, when things don't go the way we thought they should, when we're tempted and we fall. And we act justly when we genuinely make those changes that God wants us to make. And we act justly when we help others know God in a way that makes them right with Him. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. You've designed so many things in so many ways for us to come to a recognition of who You are and how You work in our life. Father, throughout the Old Testament, You challenged Your people to recognize the severity of sin and the costly nature that it carries with it. And yet for many, they became hardened to the cost. And instead of changing and avoiding sin, they kept on sinning and willingly paid the price. So God, help us today to recognize that Your desire is that the price of Your Son would motivate us to make the changes that bring about a new life, that we would act justly. We would act to make things right between us and You. Not in a continued need, but in a continued relationship. We would act to make things right between us and one another. We would look at those things that need to change in our life. We would look at those things that need to be more like Jesus. And so God, today as we live life, as we consider the sinful nature of the flesh that we live in, the desires that pull and tug and direct us in ways that are not right, may we be more than just those that brush them aside with a simple sorry, but may we act justly in the way that we turn to you and deal with the sin, the temptations, the failings of our life. And Father, may our response to the mercy that we receive be this humble obedience. And the way that we treat our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow students, the strangers in our community, the way we treat those that treat us well and the way that we treat those who don't treat us well, may it reflect this justice, this making things right. May it reflect it with you, may it reflect it with those around us. God, today as we live, and as we have decisions that we must make, as we decide, do I do this or do I do that? Do I move in this direction and seek forgiveness later, or do I act justly to begin with? May we consistently choose what you want, that we would act justly, we would love mercy, we would walk humbly with you as our God. And as we do that, may we lift up Jesus so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.